This episode is brought to you by AARP. 16 years from today, Greg Gerstner will finally land the perfect cannonball. Epic splash. Unsuspecting friends. A work of art only possible because Greg is already meeting all these same people at AARP volunteer and community events that keep him active and involved and help make sure his happiness lives as long as he does. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/local.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Golf Channel Podcast with Rex and Lav. Well, storm that we predicted in the big Masters preview edition did indeed come, but it also fizzled out a little bit earlier than anticipated. Just a 2.5 hour delay to start this 88th Masters. What that means is that the opening round of the Masters was not completed on Thursday. It does seem unlikely that the 36-hole cut will be made on Friday evening. However, for those of you who are optimists, the rest of the weather forecast for the remainder of the Masters looks fantastic. Windy conditions again on Friday, but 72 degrees and sunny. Then the weekend should be beautiful. Highs in the mid to upper 70s to low 80s. We did have some incredible scoring, I actually thought, Rex, considering the conditions. Bryson DeChambeau, we missed you, Bryson. 7-under-65 is leading this Masters by a single shot over, you guessed it, world number one, Scottie Scheffler, Mr. Inevitable, who comes in with a bogey-free 66. With all that said, Rex, what was your biggest takeaway from this day one of the Masters?
You touched it. We miss Bryson. We all miss Bryson. And look, we're going to get pushback on that. People are going to add us. Actually, I think there was a tour rules official, I mean, tour media official, who pushed back on the idea. And Jack, all I have to say is, if you don't understand how Bryson was just a content fountain, that every time he showed up at an event, there was something that was exactly. We were all going to eat. We were all going to feast. It doesn't matter if you carry a notebook or a microphone. It doesn't matter if you talk for a living or write for a living. He was going to give you something to talk or write about. And that's what he did today. Now, that said, the column I wrote for NBCSports.com/golf is that this is a different version of Bryson. This seems to be a more mature version of Bryson. He's 30 years old now. He's the captain of a team on LIV Golf. It seems to me he's got things going on in his life that probably have dialed down that fire to want to reinvent the game. This is the guy who once said of Augusta National it was a par 67, completely walked that back today. Said, I make mistakes in my life, and that's one of them. I am fascinated by watching him on the golf course today. It was the Bryson of old, the guy who swings really, really hard and takes chances and then says kind of silly things after the fact. One of them being, I think he clipped a tree on 15 and he was asked about the shot. And his response was, yes, it grazed up against 4 pine needles instead of 5.
But he smiled.
He understood. He got the joke. He was in on the joke this time. Normally, he wasn't in on the joke. When he was at his content best, he was never in on the joke. So, certainly from what we've wanted, and we've talked about this for a long time, couldn't wait to get to the majors, couldn't wait to get to the Masters, because you get all the top players together, including the Bryson DeChambeaus, and I don't want to say the villains, but I think probably the protagonist is kind of the line I went with in my column, because I think that's probably a fair description of what they are. This is what we've missed.
It is absolutely what we miss. And Bryson does seem to be, Rex, in a different headspace than he was a couple of years ago. I mean, Bryson was the biggest show in town in 2020 when he reinvented himself, when he packed in all that muscle, he packed in all that weight. He was bashing drives. He was clearing the lake at Bay Hill on number 6. He was winning major championships in dominant fashion. It seemed to be kind of reinventing the game. And a lot of folks, when you think about fall 2020, spring 2021, like they thought Bryson was going to completely overhaul the game. that he was going to start dominating major championships, collect 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in short succession. That has not necessarily happened. He does seem to be, I would say, in a healthier headspace now. I'm not sure that he is built to be the center of attention. And that sounds good in theory, that, you know, you're the biggest show in town, the star attraction, all the fans want to see you. But he did a very poor job, I would say, in his late tour career of kind of insulating himself from some of the criticisms or the controversies that would come his way. And he is still, I would say, a polarizing figure in the game. I would still say he is a divisive figure in the game. But I'm with you. He did seem more mature. He's 30 now. He expects patience. And I asked him, it did not get elicit a very good answer, but I said he has gone through these different phases in his career. You know, I covered him when he was a junior and an amateur golfer. He was kind of the weird mad scientist who was he was floating golf balls in Epsom salts to see which one would float and doing all sorts of weird things with his golf swing, sort of that mad scientist phase. Then he transformed, as we just talked about, kind of the bulky basher phase. And now it does seem, Rex, like he's getting back to, I would say, his roots. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau has always been a spectacular golfer. That's overlooked with some of the cartoonish elements and the big drives and some of the theatrics off the golf course and all this content creation stuff. I mean, he has been a terrific golfer for a long time with a very special set of skills, particularly with his putting and particularly with sort of metronomic ball striking. This version, I think, Rex, is a more powerful version of the golfer that we saw in 2018. When he won a couple of times, when he got to the number five player in the world, like if you look at his results over the past year, they're quite good. Obviously, he challenged at Oak Hill at the PGA Championship, but he has been playing well on LIV, shot that 58 last summer at the Greenbrier, and has several top finishes as well. He's fourth in strokes gained on LIV this season. And so I'm kind of buying this version. Kinder, gentler, more humble, less. It's not. He's entertaining, but it's not in sort of the silly attention-seeking way that I would say that he was known for 2 or 3 years ago.
This is that 70-30 split we talked about on Live From today. That's Steve Sands brought up. Yeah, this is what we're talking about. It always seems to go your way on the 70-30 split. I do think it's funny, and to your point, he did not like your analogy about, I think you referred to him as, you've gone from the mad scientist to bulky or brawny basher.
Yes, mad scientist to the bulky basher.
He did not like any of your alliteration. He didn't want to play along.
I asked him what phase he's in now, and he said just trying to be the best golfer he's in, that he's in the golf phase, which to me, you know, it was a shorter answer that he'd given. But to me, that means he just wants to get back to golf, that this is his passion. This is what he loves to do. He loves to compete and kind of going back to his roots and just and leaving behind all the dramas that have consumed him over the past 3 or 4 years. That's kind of how I read his answer.
Yeah, this goes back to 2016 when he actually, that was his best finish here. He finished tied for 21st at the Masters. He was an amateur. That was his first Masters. And I think even starting then, and I remember making the trip over to Hilton Head after the Masters and talking with him, I think on Tuesday over at Harbortown, just about the idea of all these things that sort of resonated around him back then, wanting to reinvent the game and wanting to be more than just a professional golfer, even a successful professional golfer, the one length clubs, the whole idea of the way he plays the game is the better way for everybody to play the game. And I was taken by the idea that this is a really young kid and he has a lot of ideas and he feels like there's only one answer to every question. The way I equated it in my column today is I think he's come to understand that two things can be true. That you can play the game this way and it might be right for you. It's not necessarily right for me. I immediately went to, and I have to say, this was kind of something I had to think a little bit about. But for the column, I was getting into the idea that this is a mature Bryson. This is someone, like I said, he's 30 years old. I think he's more comfortable in his own skin than he was before. And I wanted to get an idea from those around him. Well, the people around him now are on his team on LIV Golf, the Crushers. And I call Paul Casey. And no one was more surprised that I was calling Paul Casey to talk about golf and his captain than Paul Casey. Because he's like, you never call me to talk about golf anymore. And I said, I understand. We're not going to do politics. We're not going to do LIV Golf. And he gave me some really good anecdotes. I'm going to use them tonight on Live From. One of them was, he said earlier this year, Bryson got the team together, and it's Anibal Lahiri, it's Charles Howell, and it's Paul Casey. And he wanted to sit them down and give them sort of a snapshot lesson on why it's better to putt with east-west equator on your golf ball. The dimples is what he was talking about, instead of a north-south equator. This is a true story. And Paul said everybody in the room, all three players, gave him nothing but eye rolls. The point of this story is Bryson immediately picked up on it. Like, he wasn't oblivious. Like, suddenly all of those social clues that seemed to escape him before suddenly came pouring out, and he was like, oh, okay, never mind. I'm sorry, forget about it. And then Paul brought up a couple weeks ago when they were in Hong Kong, the team won. And he said it was cold. He goes, they have scripting. And Bryson really likes to have the scripting right. He wants the team to all look the same, understandably so, because it was cold and wet. Everybody was wearing something different. And even Paul said, I was amazed that whatever that side of Bryson's brain that probably would have clicked off and probably would have made his eye start to twitch, a lot like the logo on the Augusta National bottle this week that has you sideways, it didn't. And I just think those are just really good examples of how this guy, who was so singularly focused and kind of myopic about some of the things he did, has matured and become a more complete player and person.
The question, of course, is whether this is sustainable. We saw back in 2019, Bryson DeChambeau opened up with a share of the first round lead, shot 66, followed it up with a round of 75. It ultimately finished in a tie for 29th. Other than that, it has not gone Bryson's way, despite him proclaiming the Augusta National at one point could be considered a par 67 for him. As you mentioned, his best finish is a tie for 21st. Do you believe in Bryson? Do you believe that this will be a four-day story, or was it great to enjoy him and kind of project what could be for the rest of 2024, in that it'll just kind of return to the norm and that Augusta National will continue to befuddle him?
No, I think this will be a four-day story. He's not going to, I don't believe he's going to shoot 65 for 4 days. And I believe at some point he does come back to the pack. Like what we see on the leaderboard now, and they're not going to finish up the round today. They're probably not going to make the cut, as you pointed out, on Friday. The reason I think that, beyond what we just talked about, being more mature, being more at ease, being more comfortable in his own skin, is his game. To go to what you talked about today, there were no flaws in his game. If you look at it statistically, he was either in the lead or in the top five in every major statistical category. It wasn't like he was doing just one thing well today. He was driving the ball well. He led the field in driving distance, which is no huge surprise, but he also led the field in putting. And he was second or third in greens in regulation. In sand saves, he was 2 for 2, I think. Like, all the things you have to do well at Augusta National, he did those things today. And it wasn't easy. And my guess is they kind of set the golf course up today to be a little bit more user-friendly based on the conditions that they expected to get, with winds that were going to gust at 35, 40 miles an hour. And they will start dialing those conditions back. But I think I would be more surprised if he doesn't sort of keep up this pace than if he were to fall off the earth.
I mean, players were really surprised at just how good the scoring was. And I asked a couple of players in the flash era earlier, and Matt Fitzpatrick said, look, the greens are still soft. They didn't get the inch to inch and a half rain that they were anticipated on Thursday. But you still saw plenty of balls sucking off the greens or kind of spinning away from the hole locations and making things more difficult that way. With the wind that we had on Thursday, the wind that's projected on Friday, I do expect the course to kind of return to the condition that we saw earlier this week. That was incredibly firm, very fast, very fiery. And I'm with you. I think Bryson is now built in a way where he's not tinkering. He's not trying to break the mold or break the game. He has his game in a very solid place that I would anticipate, with all facets of his game, that could really shine when it does get more difficult. One player, obviously, Rex, who has proven that he has the exact type of game that you would want in these conditions, is Scottie Scheffler, going bogey free 66 while playing alongside world number two Roy McIlroy, who shot 71, as well as Xander Schauffele, the player who I told all of my friends to bet, who shot 72 and now finds himself seven shots off the early pace. What stood out to you about Scottie's round? Because it does feel inevitable that he's just going to keep climbing.
Just circle back and button up on Bryson. He still tinkers. He's got brand new irons in the bag this week.
It's, but he's not trying to change his game. He said he's
not trying to transform his body. Yes, I understand.
He's doing the same thing from a practice regimen day in and day out.
And I would encourage everyone to tune into live from tonight, because apparently Todd Lewis has a report on Bryson's irons that are just going to blow you away. Apparently the new irons can just do something special. I'm not surprised by anything Scotty did today. And when you ask me what stood out, nothing, because that's sort of quintessential Scotty, right? Like he kind of went out and he did what he does all the time. I mean, he hit a lot of fairways, hit a lot of greens, and made a couple of putts. I don't think he putted nearly as well as, say, he did at Bay Hill.
I mean, he missed a 4-footer on four for birdie. Didn't even hit the hole. He missed a putt from roughly 10 feet or so on 15 that could have dropped for eagle. I mean, this is the easiest 66 in really tricky conditions that you could possibly fathom, Rex. I mean, Roy called it efficient. The sort of round where you're watching him play and you can tell that he's obviously in tune with this game and playing well, but you just kind of add it up at the end. It's like, yep, shot 66. Like that's what Scottie Scheffler does. And it seems like, and Rory said, the secret to winning major championships is limiting the mistakes more than making a ton of birdies. At this point, from what we've seen from Scottie Scheffler over the past couple of months, he's doing both. He has an uncanny ability to get through rounds mistake-free, blemish-free, bogey-free, while also making enough birdies to obviously separate himself from the rest of the field, even on golf courses that are getting increasingly tricky.
And he's very much, I just looked it up, he's very much in the middle of the pack, putting wise goes. And we've had this conversation. Like
putt average.
Yeah, just putt average. Like he doesn't have to putt great, not the way he hits the ball, not the way he's able to play this golf course. I mean, there's just, there is an element to his game that we've seen before from only a handful of players. And again, hate doing the Tiger Woods thing, but certainly Tiger Woods would be in that category. Jordan Spieth. When Jordan Spieth was playing his best golf here, would resonate there. I mean, he is kind of going into that rare category, at least when it comes to this particular golf tournament, because it's hard to come up with a scenario where he's not in the lead. Like, had we been sitting here having this conversation and he shot a 72, then I would have had something to say. Then I would have needed some room. The 70-30 split would have had to go on my way. The fact he shot under par and is just a couple strokes off the lead and alone in second place right now, I mean, there was nothing spectacular about that, and that's kind of what makes it special.
Yeah, the way that he played the par threes, I thought on Thursday, stood out. And Sky said afterward that he kind of stole a couple of shots there, three consecutive eight irons on the par threes at number six, at number 12, at number 16, all led to birdies. If he's taking advantage not just of those holes, but doing the damage like he typically does on the par fives, he's certainly got a good break with his ball hanging up at the bank. On 13, I mean, it does feel like this could be yet another Scottie Scheffler week. He's absolutely going nowhere. How about Rory, Rex? Comes in at 71, actually had an opportunity to get it probably a round of 69, maybe even 68 if he'd been a little bit cleaner coming home. Instead, he doesn't get it up and down. Take advantage of a good break, hanging up with his ball on 15, misses a shorty, probably 5 feet or so below the hole on 16, and makes bogey on 17. This could have been 69, instead turns into a 71, and yet it's still, for Roy McIlroy, his best start to a Masters since 2018, which he said was afterwards actually kind of embarrassing.
It is kind of embarrassing, but it's better than where he had been before. So I know he's probably walked off the golf course and wasn't at all happy with the position where he was in. And I certainly can understand where that's coming from. However, this was going to be a big hurdle for him. And if he's being honest with himself and his heart of hearts tonight, when he goes to bed, he'll be like, okay, like I'm whatever he is. He's six strokes off the lead. We've got 54 holes to play. I've gotten over the hard part. Because I have to believe in his mind, this was going to be the hard part. I had to go out and just do something that wasn't awful on
just
day one.
Get to Thursday. Get to Thursday in a proper headspace and don't shoot yourself out of the golf tournament. He called it on Tuesday, try not to win the golf tournament from the first tee shot.
And whether if he needs to convince himself that or not, I think at this point in the game, he probably shows up at the golf course tomorrow with a little bit more of a pop in his step. And it's going to be weird because I don't think he's going to be able to finish his round tomorrow because of all the delays we have going on. But once it sort of sinks in and resonates, and look, Bryson could go out and shoot three more rounds under par and run away with this thing, and Rory would have no chance. But in the world of I did what I could only do, I can't, there's nothing I can do to control Bryson DeChambeau, I think Rory's probably going to be pleased with this round.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of players who are currently in red numbers. Victor Hovland got in red numbers. Patrick Cantlay got in red numbers. Matt Fitzpatrick got in red numbers. Tony Finau, you can go on and on. The scoring was reasonably good, and you could keep kind of in touch with Bryson. It is interesting, Rex, and they're probably about to blow the horn here the next 10 or 20 minutes with Tiger Woods currently on the 13th hole. Obviously, a birdie opportunity sits currently at Woods one under par. I mean... This is kind of what I thought Tiger Woods would do. I thought Tiger Woods would make the cut. I think it was obviously a stretch to actually contend in this golf tournament, particularly the way that Scottie Scheffler is playing at the moment. But what do you think this now sets up for Tiger? It is going to be an excruciatingly long day. Tiger wants to play as long as possible on Thursday to reduce the amount of time that he'll be on the golf course and on his feet on Friday. But it does look like he's going to play 22, 23, maybe even 24 holes on Friday when it's supposed to be cooler in the morning, supposed to be just as windy, and obviously less recovery time with this late early wave.
I think you touched on it. Like, this was the good news. I think he'll get through today. And from what I saw just watching the coverage on TV, we didn't see any of the things that we saw last year that were alarm bells. We didn't see him grimace. We didn't see him struggling up and down the hills, which they're Augusta is pretty much nothing but hills. We didn't see him laboring as he was just trying to walk. I'm not talking about him actually playing the game of golf. It's just laboring to get from shot to shot to shot. We didn't see that. That's good news. The tough news is, you're right, tomorrow is going to be a very, very long day. I think Noda Begay probably said it best this morning on Live From when you and I were on, the idea that this is a worst case scenario for him. Mm-hmm. And you never want to discount him, but it's going to be tough. The low tomorrow morning is going to be around 54 degrees and it's going to get up to 73, which is fine. But you're right. The winds are still going to be gusting to 30 miles an hour. So it's not like it's going to be something new. We've seen this enough times to know that Tiger is going to struggle tomorrow. And if he can make it through tomorrow, then I am very, very confident going into the weekend. Again, don't expect him to win. I would be pleasantly surprised if he's even able to contend. But I'm with you. I can see him making the cut just based on watching him play today.
A couple of low lights for this opening round. John Rahm bogeyed his last two holes to shoot 73 in an opening round of his title defense. Wyndham Clark actually had it to 300 par with eight holes left in his opening round. Ends up coming in at 73. As well, all my Spieth lovers, all my Hideki Matsuyama lovers, if you're plunking down a few of your hard-earned dollars today, my sincere apologies. Both of those players are over par and now nowhere near the lead as we exit on Thursday. Real quick, Rex, what are you most looking forward to seeing on Friday when we reconvene for this mini pod of the Golf Channel podcast?
Oh, I mean, Tiger Woods. I mean, we're sitting here tomorrow night. We will probably lead the podcast with Tiger Woods because he'll go one way or the other. Yep. It'll either be he'll find a way to break through and grind it out, and I have no doubt that he's going to have to grind this out. It's not going to be easy, or he's going to succumb to the things that we've seen him succumb to, which is just the physical demands of trying to get around, I don't know, as you pointed out, 22, 23, 24 holes on a cold day at Augusta National, the most demanding walk in golf. The other half of it is, I mean, again, it's going to be kind of fractured. So we're not going to be able to see Bryson go out and finish his round or Scottie Scheffler go out and finish his round. But it will set up an interesting weekend because you and I were talking about it. Like at one point this afternoon, the leaderboard was about as good as we could have expected. If I gave you a crayon and a piece of paper, gave you one of Cam's crayons and a piece of paper and told you to write down the 10 names that you want to see on the leaderboard after day one, I don't know those 10 names would have been that much different than what we had at one point.
Yeah, and we did have, again, a little bit of slippage. Obviously, the 17th and 18th holes played very difficult with the wind direction that we had in the opening round. Rory backed up, Victor Hovland backed up, Will Zalatoris backed up with back-to-back bogeys on 17 and 18 when he'd gotten to 400 par as well. So I think that could actually be advantageous for some of these players who are going to have to finish up that stretch on Friday morning when potentially it could be slightly more benign than kind of the whipping winds that we've seen right now. I'm with you, and it would be historic if Tiger Woods were to make the cut and get himself in position on Friday. It would be his 24th consecutive time making the cut at the Masters. That would be a tournament record. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of the Golf Channel Podcast with Rex and Lab. You guys know the drill. Go to nbcsports.com/golf. You can read Rex's take on Bryson. I'll be packaging a Scottie Scheffler Rory McIlroy piece up on the website. Our blogging extraordinaire, Brently Romine, will also have some notes and nuggets as well. Rex will be on live from on Thursday night. You can catch him, and Rex and I will be together on the set on Friday morning to break down the conclusion of the first round as well as a preview of the second round. So thanks as always for listening. Thanks for the support. We'll talk to you guys on Friday night.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus chews.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.